Jayarata Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Yashodanandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Radha
Prabhupada, Paramhansa, Parivrajakacharya, Astotar, Shri Srimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramhansa, Parivrajakacharya, Astotar, Shri Srimad, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada ki. Anant Koti Vaishnav Vrind ki. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki. Prem se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrind ki. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Shyamukund Radha Kundgiri Govardhan ki. Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Navadip Mayapur Dham ki jai. Ganga Mai ki jai. Jamuna Mai ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Tulsi Maharani ki jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bhakti Vinod Thakur has given us such a wonderful bhajan. It's called, it's like a window to the spiritual world. We have Radha, Krishna, Gopis, Govardhan. We sing everything in Jai Radha Madhav. Such a beautiful, very powerful bhajan puts us right in the Vrindavan consciousness. So let's begin today's Bhagavad, Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. Text 37. Yay. Sva. Deha. Smrita. Anantma, anatma, martya, vit, krimi, bhashmatvat, te, enam, atmasat, kritva, shlaghayanti, hi, asat, Tama Yai Swadeha Smrito Natmat Mrityu Vitkrimi Bhashmavat Ta Enam Atmasat Kritva Shlaghayanti Hi asattama Yai Swadeha Smrito Natma Mrityu Vit Krimi Bhashmavat Ta Enam Atmasat Kritva Shlaghayanti hi asattama Yai Swadeha Smrito Natma Mrityu Vit Krimim Bhashmavat Ta Enam Atmasat Kritva Shlaghayanti hi asattama Yai Swadeha Smrito Natma Mrityu Vit Krimi Bhashmavat Ta Enam Atmasat Kritva Shlaghayanti Hi Asattama Yasvadehasmito natma Mityo vitnibhashmavat Tainam atmasitva Shlaghyanti hi asattama Mityo vitnibhashmavat Tainam atmasat kritva Shlaghyanti hi asattama Yesvadeha smito natma Mrityo vitkrimi bhashmavat Tainam atmasrit kritva Shlaghyanti hi asattama Mataji Yesvadeha smito natma Mrityo vitkrimi bhashmavat Tainam atmasat kritva Shlaghyanti hi asattama Yaisvadeha smito natma Mrityo vitkrimi bhashmavat Tainam atmasat kritva Shlaghyanti hi asattama Yaisvadeha smito natma Mityo vitkrimi bhashmavat Tenam asmasat kritva Shlaghyanti hi asattama Yay! By sannyasis who? Swadeha, own body. Smrita, consider. Anatma, different from the stool. Matya, subjected to death. With, becoming stool. Krimi, worms. Bhasmavat, or ashes. Te, such persons. Enam, his body. Atmasat kritva, again identifying with the self. Shlaghyanti, glorify as very important. He, indeed. Asat tamaha, the great rascals. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sannyasis who first consider that the body is subjected to death when it will be transformed into stool, worms or ashes, but who again give importance to the body and glorify it as the self are to be considered the greatest rascals. Purport. A sannyasi is one who has clearly understood through advancement in knowledge that Brahman, he, the person himself, is the soul, not the body. One who has this understanding may take sannyas, for he is situated in the aham brahmasmi position. Brahma bhuta prasannatma na shochati na kangshati. Such a person who no longer hankers or laments to maintain his body and who can accept all living entities as spirit soul can then enter the devotional service of the Lord. If one does not enter the devotional service of the Lord but artificially considers himself Brahman or Narayan, not perfectly understanding that the soul and body are different, one certainly falls down, patan the other. Such a person again gives importance to the body. There are many sannyasis in India who stress the importance of the body. Some of them give special importance to the body of the poor man, accepting him as Daridra Narayan, as if Narayan has a material body. Many other sannyasis stress the importance of social position of the body as Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra. Such sannyasis are considered the greatest rascals, asattama. They are shameless because they have not yet understood the difference between the body and the soul and instead have accepted the body of a Brahmana to be a Brahmana. Brahmanism or Brahmanya consists of the knowledge of Brahman. But actually, the body of Brahmana is not Brahman. Similarly, the body is neither rich nor poor. If the body of a poor man were Daridra Narayan, this would mean that the body of rich man, on the contrary, must be Dhani Narayan. Therefore, sannyasis who do not know the meaning of Narayan, those who regard the body as Brahman or as Narayan, are described here as asattama, the most abominable rascals. Following the bodily concept of life, such sannyasis make various programs to serve the body. They conduct partial missions consisting of so-called religious activities meant to mislead all of the human society. These sannyasis have been described herein as apatarapah and asattamah, shameless and fallen from the spiritual life. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's pretty powerful stuff here. Very strong words have been used. We are here hearing about stool, worms, ashes, rascal. What is going on? Why so important? Why so heavy words have been used here? Normally, if we say these words, it's considered abomination. Like, why we are speaking such words? Will anybody like if you say something like this, tool or something? But it's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam here. And that is telling us how important this message is. How important It's mentioned, all these words are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. And that tells us how important this message is. How important it is for us to understand this whole concept. For example, if a doctor does not tell a patient that you have cancer or you have such and such disease, it's not right on the part of doctor. Similarly, this message is very strong, and through the medium of Bhagavatam, acharyas, devotees are telling us some important message here. What is the message? The message is the ultimate truth, the reality of this life. We live in this civilization where the whole goal, the whole society is going towards one aim, one thing. How to enjoy very nicely. Right from childhood, study hard. Why? So you get good grades. And after getting good grades, go to good college. After going to good college, you get a good job. You get a good job, get a good wife, good house, good car. And ultimately, what is the ultimate destiny of working so hard? The body is finished, and then it goes, what is said here, into stool, worms, or ashes. Why is it said like this, stool, worms, or ashes? There are some religion, like in Parsis, they consider the body to be so useless that after the death, they actually hang it on a big tower where the vultures or birds eat it. So it becomes the stool of such birds. Then there is, in some religion, they bury in a coffin where the worms eat it, and the body ultimately becomes the body of the worms. And of course, there are some religion where it's burned to ashes. Like, even after the death, the body is just burned in a holy pyre. So this is the ultimate end of the body. Many of us know, we have seen around us the truth that the body is dying. We have seen the relatives of the body death. We have seen death. We see accidents. We hear news about death all the times. And there are some people, having known or seen the reality to some extent, they take up this knowledge to some extent. Here it is said they are sannyasis, and they take up this knowledge and think that yes, this body is useless. But somehow or the other, they again come back to the platform of the body. Why is that? Because they have seen the death, because they have seen the reality, they say, oh, this world, Brahma Satya Jagat Mithya, everything is a false. They say, neti neti, cut this attachment, cut that attachment, not this, not that, not this, not that. Oh, this is not true, this is not right, cut, 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 cut. They ultimately are detaching and renouncing so much that their stone becomes hard. They become hard-hearted. But this spiritual world, the true reality, there is variety. Jivera Swarup Hoy Nityera Krishna Das. The soul is hankering for happiness. There is no happiness, there is no way we can, like a true nature, like a fish out of water. Fish can never survive without water. Similarly, the true hankering of soul is Satchidanand. And if that hankering, the enjoyment of the soul, if it is denied, they come back again to this material world. And what they start doing, after having renounced, after having performed austerities, tapasya, what do they start doing? Prabhupada mentions so many examples of these kind of people in the purport. The very first people, they're just renouncing everything. Renounce, 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 detach, detach, detach. They say everything is false. We don't touch the money. But they have a donation box here. Somebody comes for darshan, they point. You know, I'm not touching the money. Don't give me money. But put it in the donation box. There are some who just move around naked without clothes. But ultimately, if there is some opportunity, they smoke ganja. And there are some who are very much detached from the women, so much so that when they see women, they fast. This is one category of people who just so much into renunciation, give up, tyag, 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 this, not that, not this, not that. And then Prabhupada mentions about others who are on the bodily concept. This is also bodily concept, reject, reject, reject. That is also bodily concept, so much so that they are not seeing others as the spirit soul, as the part and parcel. Rather, they fast just at the sight of women. But the others, they are more on the bodily concept. They are more on the gross bodily concept. So much so that they think that poor people are Narayan. They say manav seva, prabhu seva. Which means serving human is serving God. Prabhupada uses here, they say daridra Narayan. But this is so much on the bodily concept. The designation of being poor or rich is a bodily designation. So if there is, Prabhupada mentions here the contrast, that if you're saying one person as poor Narayan, then there has to be rich Narayan. Right? This is another type of sannyasis who are basically on the body distinguishing people and just seeing on the bodily concept. How to feed them, how to make... Excuse me. How to serve them, how to give them clothes, build hospitals, feeding them. This is completely on the bodily concept. And then there are some who are so much on the bodily concept of Brahmanya, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Shudra. They think, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, they think that Brahman is somebody by birth. Somebody is a Brahman by birth. We very well know the verse from Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says that this division is not by, it's by guna and it's by qualities, not by birth. So here they are saying the Brahmana is somebody who has taken birth in the family of Brahmanas. He is a Brahmana. Then there are others who consider everybody to be Narayan. So they greet each other as Namo Narayan. You are Narayan, I am Narayan, everybody is Narayan. Here Prabhupada mentions in the purport that either they consider everybody as Narayan or themselves and greet each other as Narayan. But nothing can be further from the truth. If everybody is Narayan, then why? What is the need? What is the point of having supreme person? Right? Prabhupada was very used to speak very, very strongly when people used to claim themselves to be God, when he was in contact with somebody who said they were God. There was one incident where Prabhupada and his disciples were speaking to someone and he was saying, I am God, I am this, I am that. And then after that big discussion, Prabhupada is saying, no, how he is, Prabhupada is beating, defeating his arguments, but he is so much in illusion, still accepts himself as God. And then he says, please excuse me, now I have to go. And Prabhupada asks, where? He's like, no, I have to attend nature's call. And then Prabhupada's disciple, they are really strong-willed young people, they strongly hold him down. And said, Swamiji, what you are doing? What are these people doing? He was baffled. Said, you claim you are God, right? So for God, you can easily control the whole universe, the whole nature, everything. Can't you control your own nature's call? Why? You can control. Everything is under your control. Why can't you control this? Said, Swamiji, please. Swamiji, I have to go. And then he accepted his defeat. Said, I am not God. And this is what Prabhupada was. Strongly defeating all these bogus rascals, Mayavadis. Now, one thing we need to understand here is, why are these people so much popular? Every time we open YouTube, there is something about this Babaji, that Babaji, this Swamiji, that Swamiji. And some of them have millions of views, some of them have millions of followers. Why is it so much popular? Because there are a few reasons. The very first reason is, everybody is on the bodily concept of life. And whatever these people are doing is pleasing on the bodily concept of life. For example, we all know how bad it is. We have food on our plate. If there is somebody poor, we feel sad or sorry for them. And they misuse this concept of bodily concept, or everybody is being in bodily concept, and this is how they are gaining popularity. They know about all these basic problems of life, and they know how people are vulnerable to all these things. And that's why they do all these things, just to get more followers, to get more popularity, to get more attention. This is one reason. And the other reason is, one defect of humans who are illusion is they cheat and they are cheated. Prabhupada said there are cheaters and they cheated. And this is reason why. Because there is tendency of cheating others. They, in the name of religion, in the name of wearing saffron clothes, these people are going to such a great extent that sometimes they even commit illicit activities. It's not a new thing. Every few years or so we hear somebody did something, some crime against women, something or the other is happening. There are some, it is mentioned in one of the purports of Bhagavatam, there are some sannyasis who actually eat meat, claiming, oh, we live in cold countries and to keep the body fit, we have to eat meat, we have to drink alcohol, we have to have illicit sex to maintain ourselves. This is just going on this. And the root cause of all this thing is they think the body and soul, there is no difference. Body and soul, they have no understanding. Or even if they have understanding, they have fallen down from this platform. They have fallen down from this platform, and that is why they are themselves following the so-called lucrative bodily concept philosophy, and they are, their followers are also following the same philosophy. So, what is the reason for this fall down? There is a wonderful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, which says, Ayuccha Krichena Parampadam Tata Patanti Adho. That is, they fall down. And why they are falling down? O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penance to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. Two such examples that come to the mind is that of a Ravana. He took up the dress of a sannyasi just because he had some very ulterior motive. So much on the gross, lusty bodily platform that he took away Mother Sita, Lord Ram's consort, and just artificially, just because sannyasis, they gather a lot of respect, he knew that Mother Sita would not deny his request and came as a sannyasi. He dressed himself as so-called sannyasi. We also have the pastime in Bhagavatam where Prithu Maharaj was performing Ashwamedh Yajna, and Indra was very much envious and was fearful that his position will be lost if Prithu Maharaj finished the Ashwamedh Yajna. So every time he used to come in the dress of a sannyasi and he used to steal the horse. Because sannyasis, they get some respect. And then he used to steal the horse. But they knew. Prithu Maharaj's son knew about this, but he did not do any hurt or harm because he was dressed as sannyasi, and this dress demands respect. So what is, if all this is bogus, what is true sannyas, or who are true sannyasis? All the time Prabhupada always says, you know, we should remember Krishna, we should never forget Krishna. Practically the same thing, isn't it? It should be opposite. If we know who are bogus sannyasis, we should also know who are the true sannyasis. It's opposite, but it's more deeper than that. This principle is more deeper than that. Let's understand who are true sannyasis. The very first thing here in the purport the Prabhupada says is, a sannyasi is one who has clearly understood through advancement in knowledge the Brahman. That Brahman, he is the person himself, is the soul, not the body. So the very first thing is to know the difference between the body and the soul. How does the teaching of Bhagavad Gita start? What is the first thing that Krishna tells Arjuna? Dehi no asmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehantara prapti dhiras tatra namuhyati. Everything starts from this principle. This is the foundation of the whole knowledge, of the whole spiritual knowledge. First, to know that we are not these bodies. There is one popular misconception that goes around, and people think, I have soul. What do you think? Is that right? I have a soul. Anybody? I have a soul. Or we have a soul. Is that right? Yeah, but let's say we all have soul. Is that right or wrong? Wonderful. That's a very good answer. And that's what it is. If you say we have a soul, which means we are the body and the body has soul. But that is not the fact. The fact is we are the soul. This is the very first qualification of a sannyasi. They are engaged. It's here, then Prabhupada says, once they know who they are the soul, then they try to find out the next thing. If yes, I am not this body, I am the spirit soul, then where did I come from? Who is the source of my creation? And they develop this relation with Bhagavan, Krishna. Brahma bhuta prasannatma na shochati na kamshati. They first understand they are not this body, and then their relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and ultimately reach to a point where there is no hankering, no lamentation. Hankering and lamentation for what? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this: na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagdish kamay mama janmani janmanishvare bhavtad bhakti rahaitu kitvai. What does that mean? Unlike the bogus sannyasis, bogus followers, what they want? They want people, followers, they want women, they want money. All the devotee, a true sannyasi wants is to serve causelessly the Lord. There is no reason. Just out of love, they want to serve Lord. And there is no condition to it. That if I get this, I'll serve the Lord. If I don't get this, I don't serve the Lord. That is a true sannyasi. The another qualification is they don't distinguish on the bodily concept, or they don't distinguish people on the basis of the wealth they have. Oh, because he's a rich person, I'm gonna give more attention to him, so he gives me more money and I can run my mission. I can run my so-called charities. No. Oh, this person is Brahmana and this is a Shudra, I'm not going to touch them. Pandita Samadarshina. They see everybody as part and parcel of the Supreme, and in that relation they are seeing the Lord in everybody. Not that Lord is Narayan. Everybody is Narayan. They see everybody as the part and parcel of Narayan. Now let us see few examples of the true sannyasis. Of course we have Srila Prabhupada. At the very ripe age, he went to the West just to give the message of Krishna consciousness. Right? There are some rules for sannyasis that, you know, they cannot light the fire, they cannot cross the ocean, they cannot be involved on the platform like, you know, like I'm getting disciples married. They are sannyasis. What's the business? But Prabhupada was way beyond all this. For the aim of spreading the message of Krishna consciousness, did not follow these so-called rules and regulations. Similarly, we have Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He used everything in the service of Lord.
People used to criticize him because he was wearing a watch. He's saying, what kind of sannyasi is this? He's wearing a watch. He used to have a car, not for his own personal enjoyment, but just for the preaching mission. And that time, we are talking early 1900, where having a car is considered to be an opulence. Not everybody. Right now in India, everybody has a car. But then, only handful of people had cars. So he was not just saying, oh, I'm not using this, denying. Oh, this is, I'm just, you know, I like artificially trying to aloof. Rather, utility is the principle. Using everything in the service of Krishna is what he exemplified. And then we have the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Shri Rup Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Shri Jiva Goswami and Shri Gopal Bhatt Goswami. Perfect examples of what a sannyasi should do. There is a very famous prayer called Shad Goswami Ashtakam, written by Srinivas Acharya. And there are some verses which give us wonderful insight into life of what a true sannyasi or who a true sannyasi should be. It starts with Krishna Kirtana Ganartana Parau Premamritam Bhunidhi Dhira Dhira Janapriyav Priyakarav Nirmat Sarav Pujitav. Shri Chaitanya Kripabharav Bhuvibhuo Bharavahantarakav Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuyugav Shri Jiva Gopalakav. So what does it mean? I offer my respectful obeisances onto the six Goswamis, namely Shri Rup Goswami, Shri Sanatan Goswami, Shri Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Shri Raghunath Dasa Goswami, Shri Jiva Goswami and Shri Gopala Bhatt Goswami, who are always engaging in chanting the holy name of Krishna and dancing. Now normally, sannyasi, they are uptight. They don't engage in dancing, but here it says they are dancing. Let's read further. What are they? They are popular both with gentle and with ruffians because they are not envious of anyone. Dhira adhira janapriyav. Not they were living in Vrindavan and there was not even a single person who would say we don't like them or we don't have any complaints with them. Everybody in Vrindavan used to completely love and adore them. This is what they do. And they don't see people on different levels. So I don't, this person, that person. They are completely non-envious of anyone. And what were they doing? They were all pleasing to everyone and they are fully blessed by Lord Chaitanya. Thus, they are engaged in missionary activities meant to deliver all the conditioned souls in material universe. I would like to note or stress on the importance of missionary activities. Not the so-called missionary activities that today's organizations conduct. In the name of thanksgiving, in the name of missionary activities, they cut a poor animal, turkey, and they give it to families that they don't have. This is the ultimate missionary activities. What is it? They are delivering all the conditioned souls in the material nature. Not just applying, you know, when somebody's got a wound, there are two things. You apply medication or you apply like blow it so it feels cool. So when we blow it, it definitely feels cool. So all these so-called sannyasis are engaged in those kind of activities. It's just like blowing. Gives temporary relief only to the body. But the true relief, the true hankering of the soul is only when they engaged in their true activities, when they know who they are, when they act in the pursuit of this knowledge, when they try to study, know who they are and work towards being who they are. So this is what it is, engaged in missionary activities. What is the second verse? Nana Shastra Vichari Neka Nipunav Saddharma Sansthapakav. And what does that mean? Scrutinizingly studying the revealed scriptures. And what they were studying it for? With the aim of establishing eternal religious principles and for the benefit of human beings. So they are also working for the benefit of others, of human beings, but not the so-called benefit, the ultimate benefit. So then one may say, oh, these people, they are sannyasis, so what? You know, they just gave up everything. Were they simple, ordinary people? No. The fourth verse says, mandalapati. And what does that mean? They were not ordinary people. Rup Sanatan Goswami, they were actually ministers. They were ministers in Nawab Hussain Shah's court. A very, very high post. Very knowledgeable in so many languages, so much. They were expert in everything. So much money they had that it was a boat full of money that they had. So it's not that they just, you know, they didn't have anything and they gave up. They had everything. And just because they understood what is the true aim of life, they gave it up. What does it say here? They kicked off all association of aristocracy as insignificant. You know, there are some, you know, there's this story we used to hear when we were small. That there was a fox or a jackal, and there was the grapes, right? And he was jumping to get it. Jump, jump, jump. And he couldn't get it. And he says, ah, never mind. The grapes were sour. So there are some people, they hanker for money. So much, so much. And finally they say, ha, it's all Brahma Satya Jagat Mithya. This is all false. There is no point in hankering for this. But these Goswamis were not like that. They were true aristocrats. They had everything. And they still gave it up. And what did they do? In order to deliver the poor conditioned souls, they accepted loincloths, treating themselves as mendicants. But they are always merged in the ecstatic ocean of gopis' love for Krishna and bathe always and repeatedly in the waves of that ocean. So they chose this humility for a higher cause, for a higher purpose. And it was not that they just moved around. They were not sad, they were not upset, or they were not gloomy. Rather, they were always bathing in the waves of ecstasy, the ocean of love of God. They were enjoying not on the material platform. They were enjoying. They were in complete bliss. Happiness is one thing, but bliss is when, you know, you are truly, truly happy. That is bliss. And they were blissful in the service of Radha Krishna. So we saw this contrast of how there are bogus, so-called people in the name of bodily concept. First, you know, they renounce everything, renounce the world, renounce everything. First they say, oh, this body is made up of worm, stool, and you know, when it finishes, it will all go. But then they come down just for some name, fame, and come on the bodily platform. And they are engaged in that kind of missionary activities. And on the contrast, we have here the true swamis, true sannyasis, who are engaged in the ultimate welfare activity of all. So why we are studying all this? Does that mean we have to give up everything? We have to become sannyasis? This is what we are studying? This is what the aim is? Actually, Prabhupada always says one. There was this one example that comes to mind. There was one brahmachari. He went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I want to become a grihastha. Prabhupada said, okay. He got married. And you know, after a few fights and all the problems of grihastha life, he went to Prabhupada and asked, Prabhupada, now I want to become sannyasi. Did Prabhupada say yes to this? Prabhupada said no. The point is, Prabhupada wants each and every one of us to be engaged in whatever our duties are, in whatever our respective roles are, but to develop the mentality of a sannyasi, to develop the qualities of a sannyasi. It's not a post, it's not some artificial imposition that I am a sannyasi. Of course, we have a lot of sannyasis who have given up, completely dedicated their life in service of Prabhupada, Guru and Krishna. But the whole point is, Prabhupada actually wanted all of us to be engaged in service of Krishna. Prabhupada did not send any sannyasis when he wanted to expand the Krishna consciousness movement in the West. He sent 6 grihastha couples. He trained them. He trained them like any, he would train his sannyasis. Trained them in kirtan, wrote letters, encouraged them how to do this. Right? And Prabhupada said they have done what his god brothers who are sannyasis, they couldn't do it. All they managed was click a few pictures with some important people. But we all know the history, that how the movement spread. So this is what we have to do. Not think of designations. What is our role? Just to be engaged in the service of the Lord. Now I would like to end by reading a conversation that Prabhupada had with devotees exactly 49 years ago. This conversation happened on April 12, 1975. I don't know, I found it was pretty mystic. I was just trying to find some quote of Prabhupada, and I found a quote on sannyas, the topic for today, on that was discussed 49 years back on the same date. Let's read what Prabhupada is saying. Anashritya karma phalam karyam karma karoti yaha sa sannyasi. Bhagavad Gita 6.1. Anashritya. Everyone is expecting some good results for his sense gratification. That is ashrita karma phalam. He has taken the shelter of good result. But one who does not take shelter of the result of activities. It is my duty, karyam. Karyam means it is my duty. Doesn't matter what is the result. I must do it sincerely, to my best capacity. Then I don't care for the result. The result is in Krishna's hand. Karyam, it's my duty. My Guru Maharaj said it. So it is my duty. It doesn't matter whether it is successful or not successful. That depends on Krishna. In this way, anyone, if he works, then he is a sannyasi. Not the dress, but the attitude of working. Yes, that is sannyas. Karyam, it's my duty. Sa sannyasi cha yogi cha. He is yogi, first class yogi, just like Arjuna. Arjuna, officially, he did not take sannyas. He was a grihastha, soldier. But when he took it very seriously, karyam, Krishna wants this fight. Never mind, I have to kill my relatives, I must do it. That is sannyas. First of all, he argued with Krishna that this kind of fighting is not good. Family killing and so on and so on and so on. He argued. But after hearing Bhagavad Gita, when he understood that it is my duty, Krishna wants me to do it, karyam. So in spite of his becoming a householder, a soldier, he is a sannyasi. He took it, karyam. Karyam means it is my duty. That is real sannyas. Krishna wants that this Krishna consciousness movement must be spread. So this is my karyam. Prabhupada is leaving no room for doubt. Prabhupada is also telling us what our duty is. This is my duty. And the direction is my spiritual master. So I must do it. This is sannyas. This is sannyas. Sannyas mentality. But this, there is formality. That may be accepted. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Any questions, comments? They are waiting for the mic. Hare Krishna. Maybe take this.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you for the nice class. I've got a question about the, before you said that sannyasis always keep their mind controlled to the extent the Lord is like shelter. So then how do they control their mind with, like, because if we see Prabhupada, he traveled to like New York where there were so many bad people and stuff. So how did he keep his mind steady and like always focused on Krishna? How do the sannyasis like do that?
As we read in the verse, there was a verse we read where it said he engaged, he was constantly meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna. There were two things that Prabhupada did. Prabhupada said he always prayed. He said, Krishna, please protect me from Maya. And disciples were like, you know, Prabhupada, you? Since Prabhupada says, yes. I always pray Krishna to protect me from Maya. That is one thing. And the other thing that Prabhupada always did was, he was always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. There are two ways mind can be trained. One way is by force, right? And the other way is by just gentle approach. So Prabhupada used both, by force and by gentle approach, engaging in service of Krishna, keeping tightly in association with devotees. Prabhupada, wherever he went, he created devotees. He created the devotee association. And that is how the mind can be absorbed. You know, like there is the sponge and there is like holy, right? Let's forget the sponge, holy. If somebody puts blue color on you, what you get, what you become? Blue. Somebody puts orange, you become orange, right? Similarly, the kind of association you keep, that's how you become. So if you are in association of devotees who have controlled their mind, then you become like that.
So we can implement Prabhupada's like mentality, like Prabhupada's thinking process in ours, like, so we can try to do what Prabhupada was thinking like all the time.
Yes. Prabhupada was always thinking of Krishna. How to serve Krishna, how to do something to expand the movement, everything in relation to Krishna. If we can do that, everything in relation to Krishna. Like for example, you study, don't you? So if you study not to get good grades, to get a good job, but if you study nicely to get good grades so you can use that in your preaching, that is how you can think. That is how you can keep your mind controlled. Yeah? That's what will help you.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you for nice class. Mataji, why do these kind of people, as you are mentioning, also mentioned as the greatest rascal, why do they consider ourselves or oneself as a body? Don't they see that somebody dies, something has left, even though the body is same, everything is same, something has left, and there's enough ample evidence that it's a soul. So we are the separate from the soul. So why they are not able to fathom this basic point, basic concept?
There are so many things. When somebody is grossly in the bodily concept, and even though things are happening in front of them, they think, this is not going to happen to me. Mm-hmm. When Yamaraj asks Yudhishthir Maharaj, what is the most astonishing thing? What is the most thing that surprises you the most? He says, Yudhishthir Maharaj says, we see people dying around us, but we think that is never going to happen to us. So that there is this illusory potency which covers the mentality. Even when they see somebody is dying, they have something called Smashan Vairagya. Smashan Vairagya means, when Smashan is a place in India, like Smashan is where they burn the body once it dies. So when they go, when they see the body burning, they are crying, they suddenly develop that kind of renunciation. Oh, nothing is true. This is the fact. This is what I'm going. But as soon as they come out of it, reach home, take a shower, all that knowledge is washed away. Again absorbing, like, you know, elephant bath. Again absorbing in this mentality that this is my house, body, all that concept comes back. So there are a few things to it. One is, don't want to accept, because there is this illusion that, hey, I'm going to live forever. This is never going to happen for me. And sometimes even though they accept it, then Maya takes over and they don't continue this kind of renunciation. This Smashan Vairagya.
Jai. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you for the nice class. Mataji mentioned how there's so many like gurus in India. They speak on the body concept, but they're all bogus gurus. So Mataji, I've also heard that they take a lot of money just for speaking the Bhagavatam. So my question was, even though they are not pure, they're taking the money for Bhagavatam and they're reading Bhagavatam, why aren't they getting purified? Because we also hear Shudras, dog eaters, who are like the low class people. They also get purified just by touching and reading Srimad Bhagavatam.
The answer to that is because they are still not giving up sinful activities. Like I was mentioning, elephant bath, right? They're speaking Bhagavatam. They sometimes, you know, they have so many people listening Bhagavatam. But their mentality is, how I can use that money for myself? Not the goal of Bhagavatam is not that Bhagavatam, we read Bhagavatam for our advancement or going close to Krishna. We are, when we speak, when we're doing this Bhagavatam, one thing is we are learning ourselves and we want this knowledge to go to everybody for their advancement in going closer to Krishna. But their goal is not that. Their goal is how to make money and how I can enjoy that money. It's like a profession for them. You know, like some people, they work as doctors, scientists, teachers. So for them, that's all they can do. So that is for their, nothing in relation to spiritual life, nothing in relation to spirituality. They do get some benefit because Bhagavatam is ultimately pure. And if they're reading it purely, not going jumping directly to 10th canto or trying to present the message, eventually they'll get pure. Eventually they'll come to a point where they will not accept money or they'll start speaking the true message. But only if they are genuinely understanding the value, the potency of this knowledge. And not just that it's a means to make money. Right? Hare
Krishna. So, as we discuss about Bhagavad Gita verse as well, 2.13, we also differentiate between like those who are the sannyasis within our Krishna consciousness. We also differentiate between body and soul. And we also practice and we also do the devotional activities, spread Krishna consciousness. But then sometimes there is a fall down. So in relation to this verse, here he says, the sannyasis who first consider that body is subject to death, but eventually they give importance to the body and glorify it to the self. So how we can understand the difference between this kind of sannyasis? I mean, are they really sannyasis, the one which I mentioned here? And the sannyasis who attempted, who tried their best to take Krishna consciousness, spread Krishna consciousness, take up even the sannyas order, and then somehow down the line something happens. So what is that factor we can consider or understand how it works?
There is so much difference between this and the other sannyasis that you are talking about. Here, the Bhagavad Gita basic knowledge, we are not this body, is not there at all. Maybe they realized to some extent and then they came back on this bodily platform, just body, body, body. So what they are is, the true word used here is shameless and rascal. Because they knew it, but still they don't follow and they don't want their followers to follow. So this is the verdict of Bhagavatam. They are shameless, they are rascal. But those who are genuinely following and there is accidental fall down, then that is something that Krishna understands. And he says himself in Bhagavad Gita that 9.30, apicheta sudurācaro bhajate mam ananyabha sadhu evahi. That he, am I right, the verse? 9.30. So that if there is accidental fall down, but they realize their mistake and they come back, then that is not something that is a disqualification. The words here. Yeah, apicheta suduracharo bhajate mam ananyabha. What is the translation? Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is considered to be saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. So it's like going against the flow. This is not easy. We are going against
The whole world, like 99.99% is materialism. Every time even you try, there are billboards and this and that. Maya is attacking from so many things. Gross and subtle both. Internally some anarthas are there, externally some things are there. But if there is accidental fall down and one realizes, no, this is my mistake, and comes back and situates rightly in Krishna consciousness, here Krishna's verdict is already there. It's not. He is still considered a sadhu. We have example of Ajamil. Once he realized, he atoned, like he went to Haridwar and then eventually went back to home, back to Godhead. But here there is no realization. There is only thing, I, me, myself, my profit, my adoration, my followers, how I can make more money. That's all it is. And it is more like a rascal and more like shameless, because they knew at some point of time. And still, they are again, they don't want to follow it and they don't want others to follow it. So they are themselves, like a blind man leading to others to like a ditch, like a well. Same, they are don't follow and they lead their followers also. So they're not only causing harm for them, all the people they are following, they are also getting the same destination or the same mentality. Because like we were talking, the association, that same thoughts are coming in them also.
Thank you.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.